Thanks, Beck. Okay, hands up here. Who here has a name? Lockie didn't. There's most. No? He gets called names, but yeah. Yeah, okay, good. Everyone's got a name. Who's good at remembering names? Who's got that gift? You know, the gift of being able to just remember people's names? That is a gift that is really handy to have and really sucks when you don't have it and you need it. And you know those moments where you're talking to someone, you're like, it's right there and I want to say it. So you just call them mate or, anyway, that happens to me. If you ever hear me, saying, mate or something like that, then, I've probably forgotten your name. What about making mistakes of names? You do that. Who's got a habit of always thinking one person's name is something else? You got a few hands up, yeah. I know that actually Brendan's got a mate who his name is Stu. I keep thinking it's James. Always. And it's straight away the first name that comes into my head whenever I see him. And I'm like, and I've got to do that gymnastics. So, look, we've all got names. Look, names are pretty important. They're not normally. Tell me, how does this happen? How does this conversation go? You've not met someone before, and you go to introduce yourself. What do you do? What's the first thing? And we can interact in this a little bit. What's the first thing you're going to do? Yeah, exactly right. Oh, g'day. I'm such and such. Yes. You do an elbow bump or whatever it is these days. And you introduce yourself with your name. Everyone's name actually has a meaning. Isn't that unique, right? Who knows what their name actually means? Yeah? Who wants to share what their name actually means? You have some voices come through. Put your hand up. You want to share what your name actually means? Yeah, Beck? Rebecca. To bond. It's a Hebrew name. Rebecca. Good biblical old school name. Yes. Who else wants to tell me what their name means? Okay, River's got his hand up. Yes? A body of water. This is pretty good. Self-explanatory. It's good. Come on, who else? Who else has got a name? Yes, Obi. God's messenger, Obadiah. Wow, brilliant. Joe? God heard. Samuel, God heard. Wow, and these are quite biblical names too, right? Yes, Brendan. Prince Smelly Hair, Brendan. Yeah. All right. Interesting. I never looked. Is that Hebrew? Is it all Greek? Yeah. Everyone's name has a meaning. It's funny, isn't it? And not everyone lives up to their name. Oh, yes, Joe, yes.
Small.
You know what? It's amazing. Paul means small. And that's a crazy thing to me as a side note because... Paul's one of the giants of our faith, author of most of the New Testament. And I love that sense that it's through the little things that God works big things, right? It's amazing. Paul, whose name kind of means... Anyway, that's a tangent. So some people make a name for themselves. Have you heard that saying? Oh, they've really made a name for themselves. But that doesn't mean they've made up a name for themselves. Not like, I don't like my name anymore and now I want to be called blah, blah, blah. It's not like you haven't made up a name for yourself. If you make a name for yourself, it's because of a reputation. It's not actually about your name as such. It's about having some sort of characteristics that means you've made a name for yourself. So, yes, normally it's because you've been a bit of a troublemaker or something like that. And not normally such a good thing. But you know what? Someone who really did live up to their name, I think you can see where I'm going with this, someone who really did sort of make a name for themselves, we've been celebrating him this morning, tell me who it is. It's Jesus, the one that we've been singing about, we've been having the readings about. He really did make a name for himself, as it were. He really did embody his name and what his name meant, because it wasn't just that it was a good name, Jesus. In fact, Jesus was a fairly regular, normal kind of name back in the day. It may be kind of like some of the normal names you hear these days in our general culture, like a David or something like that. They're kind of common-ish names. Jesus was actually a common name, and yet Jesus made a name for himself because of what that name truly meant. So it was more than just a name. It was a description. It was actually embodying God's character and nature in that name. Let me take you back to the story of the Exodus. And when Moses has this conversation with God, and this is actually after they've had the escape from Egypt. And Moses says this amazing thing to God. He says, "Can you show me your glory?" In Exodus 33, he says, "I want to see your glory." And God says that my presence will go before you. And in fact, he says to him about what's going to happen when God does decide to show him his glory. Let me read it from Exodus 33 into 34, sorry, verse 5, that says this, that God hides Moses in a rock so he can't see the full amount of his face and his glory. But this is what God does. The Lord came down to him in the cloud, and he stood there with him, and he proclaimed his name, the Lord, which was Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming his name. And this is what he said. This was part of what his name meant and what it was and what it embodied. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to 1,000 and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. See, when Moses wanted to see the glory of God, wanted to know God more, God said, "Okay, well, I'll tell you my name. And with that comes my character and my nature. It's not just Yahweh, but it embodies and it encapsulates all of who God is. Gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. This is who our God is." And so, when it comes time for God to send his son into a lost and broken, hurting world, he has to give him a name. And what name is God going to choose, with what kind of meaning that helps to embody and capture his character and his nature and the essence of what God is about? He gives him the name Jesus, because as Beck just read for us, give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Because Jesus, the name, meant to save or to redeem. And that was God's heart and nature, and that's the very nature and essence of who our God is. That's the story of Jesus, the baby in a manger, is it represents that the heart and nature of God is a God who says, "I will rescue, I will save. No matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, I am a God who in my very nature of who I am and what I do is I will save." It was all part of God's plan from the very, very beginning. Now, I want to ask another question here. We've talked about names, but who here has a job? Who's got a job? Okay. Because here's my next kind of, imagine this conversation. You've just introduced yourself to someone new. What is it you've said? You've said, "G'day, my name is Tim." Well, my name is, whatever it may be, Balaji. My name is, and you introduce yourself, that's your name. So then the people that you're introducing yourself to, they know at least what to call you. Next, what's the next thing you normally talk about? Come on. Is it just me? Work. Oh, yeah. What do you do with yourself? You know, do you work or you do study or whatever? Who here out of the... I want to ask the kids again this question. Who here are the kids? Put your hand up if your mum or your dad has a job. Your kids? Yeah? Okay. I want to ask some of the kids, can you explain to me what that job is that your parents do? Who can we ask? It doesn't have to be a Kirkard child. I see, yeah. Is that Joanna? Is she wanting to share? Or is it... Yes, what's he do? What does your dad do? I was hearing something about an office. He works in an office. Jay, is that right? Can we affirm that, you know? Home-based, yeah, sure. Okay. I want to ask someone that's name doesn't end in K. All right, Obi. Yeah, okay. What does your dad do? A chaplain and a pastor. Yeah, okay. So there's a good description of them, what you think they do. Oh, okay, I can't ignore the hands up. All right, let's go with Haven. A pastor. All right, okay. Let's not the pastor's kids. Come on. Someone else. I'm going to talk about the dad. All right. All right, yeah. Charlotte. Mum doesn't do anything. All right, okay. What about your dad? What does your dad do? Accountant. Okay. So when you hear the titles about these sort of things, you know, an officer, a chaplain, an accountant, whatever it might be, it starts to let you understand a little bit more about what they do, doesn't it? And if you're a policeman, you know, oh, okay, you know, if someone's a policeman, they work in the law enforcement. Or if someone's a chef, you know, they work with food and la-da-da. It helps you understand what they do for work, or if they're studying, et cetera, et cetera. I want to suggest to you that when God sends his son and calls him Jesus, it's also kind of like a job description for Jesus and for who God is. It's not just the name, but it embodies what he will do. Jesus was a carpenter by trade, sure. So he, you know, could work with his hands and nails and wood and whatnot, but Jesus as a name became like a title that helps us to understand that God would save. And the name Jesus embodies that. So it's more than a name. Now, we know how Jesus saved. We know the Easter story. We celebrate that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, that God so loved us he would do that. And he paid for our sins. That's how we got saved, because we couldn't do it ourselves. And he came for the lost and the hurting and the broken and those in need. And he died and then rose again on the third day. And he told his disciples, go out and tell everyone this good news, this gospel, that you can be restored back to your relationship with God. You can be rescued. You can be saved because of what Jesus did. Now, I mean, I'm going to skip through all these because I was going to do a song, but the time's going to run out, so I'm just going to go straight to the scriptures that the early church took when they were telling people about Jesus. When Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, the early church, when they went out and about, they said this kind of stuff. Peter said this on the day of Antioch. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It's in the name of Jesus. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple one day, and there was a guy who couldn't walk. And he was begging for money. And Peter said to him, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, they got accused of a bunch of stuff because of this. But Peter responds and says, it's by faith in the name of Jesus that this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. When they get dragged before the authorities, he says, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. finally, they call them in again. They command them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, but they couldn't. They kept going out and they said, they prayed together with the other believers, consider their threats, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that the name of Jesus is like a magical incantation you can just say that makes stuff happen, because like I explained, it's more than that. It's about the character and nature of God embodied in Jesus. And when you come to Jesus and you experience that forgiveness, you experience that restoration, that saving, then you become one in Christ. You are now in Christ Jesus. And you have, as it were, Christ, well, definitely you have Christ living in you. Christians, Christ ones, we become those who are one with Christ. We hold the mantle in the name of Jesus, everything that that represents. Because that name has been exalted. God exalted Jesus to the highest place, gave him that name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus saves. And you and I need saving. No matter what our problem is, Jesus saves. Jesus is the ultimate savior, the ultimate rescuer. He's the savior for your restlessness, your loneliness, your brokenness. Jesus alone is the savior to your fearfulness, perhaps your agonizing or paralyzing helplessness at times, your struggle and your wrestle with your mental wellness. Jesus is the savior. He's the savior to your sinfulness, your wretchedness, your habits and addictions. Jesus is your savior. Jesus is the savior who came to the sick, to the needy. He met the world in the dusty, dirty stable with the farmyard animals. He's one who knows our need and to our weaknesses, no stranger. So this morning, so this day, so forevermore, I would pray and trust that you would behold your King born in a stable and lowly bend. And when we come to Jesus, this baby in a manger this morning, as it were, we felt the anticipation in Advent of his first coming that we eagerly await, and we know that his second coming will come. On that day when every knee will bow and tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I encourage you on this Christmas day, see Jesus as the Savior you need. Accept Jesus as the Savior you need, because there is no other name in heaven or on earth that can save. Our God, I just want to ask that as we go out on this day that you would continue to allow that message that Jesus says, that you are a saving God, that no matter what, you will reach to the lowly, the broken, you will reach and save. There is nothing that has been done, no sin too deep or dark or hidden that you will not forgive. So we come to you afresh on this morning, thanking you that Jesus saves, that his name means that you save. May we celebrate that today and forevermore. Amen.